Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
It's good to see you here in person, online. Welcome to our service today, the day of the Lord. And it's a joy when we come together to celebrate the name of Jesus. And he shows up earlier, we sang that the King is in the room. And when Jesus shows up, he makes all the difference. Amen? He does. And I hope you're inspired, you're encouraged, even as we get into a moment of inspiration again through God's Word. But my name is Eddie, just in case you're wondering who this guy is. My name is Eddie. And Martha and I. Martha is my hot dark chocolate. That's the name that I call her. Her online name is Hot Dark Chocolate. That is my wife of 18 years. Okay. Now, some of you, please do not hate on me. Please love on me, all right? So, husbands, turn to your wives. If they're next to you, just concoct a new phrase. It better be a good one. If you call them lemon tea, you'll come for counseling, okay? Don't call them lemon tea, all right? And but it's a joy for us to serve you. We get to serve the pastors, and we have the privilege of really going around the different campuses and to support the pastors to see what God is doing in the different churches that we are planting because of your generosity. Last week, we were in Nansana, which was campus number 16. And when you're going in the morning, you get there fast. But when you are returning home, those guys love you so much. There is so much traffic jam that it takes about 3 hours for a very short distance. So when you go there, you better be filled with love and the fruit of the Spirit and patience, okay? And so Nansana, we love you, God loves you, and may you address the jam issue on the other side, okay? Now, Watoto family, one of the things that really we are so thankful for is the ministry that we are a part of, Watoto Church Ministries. And the work we do to care for the community has been done in collaboration with many people. Thousands of people around the world. We call them vision partners. And over the years, God connected us to a church, a big church in Australia, which is around the world right now, called Hillsong. And they built many homes in our current children's villages. And we thank God for the work they did with us, okay? And today, we get to have a friend. She's called Lauren Thompson from Hillsong. Would you please stand up? We'd love to welcome you. Thank you so much for coming. She's the head of social impact support. And thank you so much for coming to see what God is doing. Come on, one more time. Let's appreciate her and welcome her right here. And thank you for your partnership. And together we are making a big difference. You can see the young adult leaders here leading us in worship. Your seed, your generosity has impacted their lives as well. Now, next week is going to be a big celebration when we get to celebrate the work that we are doing in caring for the vulnerable mothers in our communities. And we're calling next weekend Watoto Neighborhood Weekend. Now, that is next weekend. And we've been building up to next weekend. And that is what we've been going through, the series called God's Heart for Community. Because God has a heart for community. And we began this series by saying from the book of Matthew chapter 9 in verse 36 to 38, Jesus is doing ministry in Judea, and then he sees a crowd of people, and the Bible says he was moved with compassion. Why? Because they were helpless. They were harassed. They were like sheep without a shepherd. His heart was moved by the state of the community, by the state of the people in the community. Why? Because they were harassed and they were helpless. And he was moved to do something about that. And in that moment, he said to the disciples, pray that the Lord would send forth laborers. The harvest is plentiful, but the harvesters are few. That prayer was answered when the church of our Lord Jesus Christ was instituted on the day of Pentecost. And we are the laborers that have been sent out into the harvest field because the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. I wonder what kind of mindset you have when you see the state of your community. You know, it's very easy for us to be angry, to be apathetic, because we see things as they are, but we don't see things as they could be in the heart of God. And you see, God is calling us as Watoto family. He's called us to do this, that when we see the brokenness in our community, we should be moved with compassion like Jesus was moved with compassion, because compassion always acts. We must never be hard-hearted when it comes to caring for the community. You've heard it. We have this statement. We celebrate Christ. We had an amazing moment in celebrating Jesus this morning. But we also care for community. This is not a good idea. It is a God idea. From Genesis all the way to Revelation, we see God is moved by those who have been marginalized. The poor, the refugees, the strangers, the widow, the orphan. He has a heart for them. Why? Because they are the ones that society pushes down. But God wants them to know that He is their God and He remembers them. And guess who He uses? He uses His church. He uses you and I today to be the voice for those who cannot speak for themselves. Last week we saw from Deuteronomy 24. I'm just going to read a couple of verses from there, even as we engage with the story of Watoto in caring for the vulnerable mothers. And this is what it says, verse 17, true justice, because there's justice that is not true. And I know most of you could have even many stories of justice that is not true, for those who can afford it, that is not true justice. True justice must be given to foreigners living among you and to orphans. And you must never accept a widow's garment as security for her debt. Don't take advantage of the widows, of the fatherless. Always remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God redeemed you from slavery. That is why I have given you this command. And so then he gives instructions on how they should care for these kinds of people. He said, when you plant and you are harvesting, leave something for these kinds of people. In other words, plan for those who have been marginalized in your society. Don't do or care for only yourselves. Why? Because you are once slaves in Egypt, and I redeemed you and I've set you free. Now, this is the gospel 100% in the Old Testament. The reason that God rescued the Israelites from Egypt is not because they were good people. In fact, he tells them, you were the smallest of all the peoples, lest you become big-headed and you think you deserved the rescue. He did not rescue them because they had prayed so much, because they were righteous. He rescued them because of his mercy, because of his love. And so because now they're in freedom, they're at a place where they are free, he says, remember the people who are also in a state of slavery, the foreigners, the widows, the orphans, because you were once like that. And I did not do it because you deserved it. Therefore, don't do it for these people because they deserve it. That is the gospel. The reason you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus is not because you called out for a savior. The Bible says, while we were still sinners, before we ever invited Jesus, Jesus came. Before you ever committed your very first sin, Jesus died. Now that you've been redeemed, now that you are free, now that you have eternal life, remember those who are still stuck. Do not forget what I've done in your life. Do it for the other people as well. So, Watoto family, when you hear us talking about caring for community, this is just not a good idea. This is a God idea. I know most of us, we quote or misquote the scripture. The poor will always be with you as an excuse. That's because we don't know how to read the Bible. He cares for the poor. And for the last 31 years, God has performed thousands of miracles. Through our generosity, through the generosity of tens of thousands of people around the world, some of them who have never even come here, we've been able to come alongside over 6,000 boys and girls. You have seen the fruit of some of them on this stage. Can we praise the Lord for that? That's amazing. That is incredible. That is amazing. We are writing amazing stories. Last week, you were able to see some testimonies of young people who have been empowered. Now they are leaders. That is what happens when you go down and express the heart of Jesus for the least of these. He writes amazing stories. And that is the story of our lives, each one of us in this room. If you have to be honest, you were stuck in sin. You were captive to the enemy. And then Jesus, by his grace, through his mercy, he has rescued you. Now that you are free, God is saying, go and set other people free in Jesus' name. And today, I want to look at the story of Watoto Neighborhood. How did we start caring for the vulnerable women in our communities? And there are many in our communities. The need is immense, but we start somewhere. Amen? Now, some of you online, you are in different countries, different communities. You may not be able to participate in what is happening here directly, but in your communities, if you open your eyes, you will see that people who are marginalized that God is calling you to love on. This is God's heart for community wherever we are. Let's never be hard-hearted. Why? Because God has been gracious to us. And today our team leaders are going to take us on a little journey on how we got to be here, and then I will come back to challenge us to respond in the way God wants us to respond. Let's welcome our team leaders, Pastors Julius and Vanita Rotonyo.
Hello, Watoto family. Welcome to church today, whether you're joining us in person at one of our campuses, or maybe you're joining us online or on air. We are so thankful that you're a part of our service today. And we carry on our series today, God's Heart for Community.
And today, we'll be focusing on our story of caring for the vulnerable mothers in our communities. This is a journey of faith that started out as Living Hope, and it was primarily focusing on caring for the HIV-positive vulnerable mothers in our communities. But over the years, vulnerability has changed and has grown into so much more than just that, and today we call it Watoto Neighborhood. We'll start off this story by hearing from our founders.
Actually gotten comfortable looking after AIDS orphans. I knew how much food they needed in a week to survive. I knew how to put an educational program together so they could be trained to be future leaders. I even knew how to train a Watoto Children's Choir and send them around the world. But it's dangerous when you get comfortable. You can actually fall asleep to greater need, and I felt God whisper to me, sweetie, don't get too comfortable. I've got something else I want you to do. I want you to begin to restore dignity to Uganda's most vulnerable women.
20 years ago, the biggest need that we observed as Watoto in our communities was parentless children due to war and HIV/AIDS that really affected our country. But now, Uganda has grown and life has changed. The number of widows and orphans due to HIV/AIDS and war has gone down, but there's still broken and hurting people in our neighborhoods. The biggest hurting group is this single mom with her children. She's been abandoned, some of them abused and rejected. And so she has to look after all these children. And when we reached out to them and asked them, how can we come alongside you to help you? That's when they told us four things that they really required. These four stood out amongst the needs. They said, if you can help me, give my children great education. Then secondly, they also talked about the issue of their income. If we can find employment and have a stable source of income, then we can look after ourselves and our children. Then the third thing they said is our health, because some of them really are still struggling from HIV, AIDS, and different diseases. So health came out as a high-ranking thing, that if they could get proper medical care, that would be of great help. And finally, they talked about their housing situation. These women live in absolutely deplorable conditions, and I don't think anyone should live in such situations, but they've been abandoned, and they just find a slum and live in a place that is really not habitable, for lack of better words. And so they said, if our housing can be improved, that will also be of great help. And so as a church, our response is to be relevant right now to the current need. There's thousands of vulnerable women that we see every day. I see them on the side of the road trying to make a living. I see them seated and wondering what's going to come next for me. Am I going to have a meal today? I see many of them in the night trying to use their bodies to make an income. And that breaks my heart. Women will try to do everything for their children. They give their all to look after their kids. And some will say they were forced to do things they needed to, they knew were wrong to do, because they just wanted to get some money to buy milk for the little child. And I can't just be there as a Christian claiming to celebrate Jesus, but not paying attention to the things that break Jesus' heart. And so personally, I want to get involved. So what we're calling this now is Watoto Neighborhood. Going to our neighborhood and meeting the need right there. We want to come to them and say, for some of you, you made the wrong choices, but that is the past. We want to help you make your life better right now.
Here at Watoto, we believe that Africa's greatest resource is her women empowered. But sadly, Africa is plagued with a lot of social breakdown. And the women, generally speaking, bear the brunt of breakdown in society. The women bear the brunt of poverty, disease, joblessness, and all the other challenges in society. And generally speaking, these are women who have been abandoned, widowed, separated, ostracized, or thrown out by the very families that should take care of them and help them.
I did not know I was HIV positive until I went for medical checkup. And that was September 1998. I had lost my husband in May the same year, and the cause of the death was, according to medical report, was typhoid fever. It was anything to do with the HIV positive. It was not in my memory. My husband died in May the 23rd, and we went for burial. By the time we came back, there was no accommodation for us. It was already taken, and our things were outside. So we had to look for where to stay. It was not easy. Maybe what I hadn't told you is that my three children were in P2. The firstborn was in P2. The second born in nursery, baby class. And the last born I was breastfeeding. It was a terrible situation. And I remember in the same year, in December, we decided to go home, as it was a culture that every Christmas we go home. only to find that even the house we had home has been put down and the banana plantation was just coming out. It was terrible. The journey was not easy. Education, accommodation, feeding, mentioned, but just a few. I remember telling God, if my children could get education to P7, and because there was no hope of even getting education.
The Bible in James 1:27 says, religion that God the Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the widows and orphans in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That's the heartbeat of Father God for the vulnerable women. And so as Watoto, we've chosen to respond to the things that matter to our Father. So over the years, we've reached out to over 7,500 vulnerable women. I must say there's so many more out there, but God has allowed us to reach out to those so far. And when we reach out to them, the first thing we do for them is embrace them with a practical embrace of Jesus' love. If you read your Bible, every time Jesus found those who were hungry or broken, his expression of love was practical. He fed them, he healed them, and so much more. So that's what we do for the women. And then we disciple them, because these women come in broken, in pain and bitterness, believing the lies of the enemy about them. Yet we want them to know the truth of who God has created and made them to be. His plan for them is beautiful, and he has a great purpose for each of them. And our desire is that we will have a mindset shift for each of them, so that they will stop believing the lies of the enemy and instead believe the truth of God about themselves and step into his plans for them. We also equip them with job skills, adult literacy, so that they can read and write and count, vocational training like tailoring, hairdressing, and so many others. And we also teach them how to run business, because at the end of the day, we want them to take care of themselves and their children. And you know, this is the beautiful thing. When you come alongside one woman, you're not actually touching just the one woman. You're touching her 3, 4, 5, 6 or more children and changing the trajectory of their lives. And so this is my appeal to you, family, that we will respond to the call, the heart of Father God, and give a hand up to these vulnerable women and empower them to transform their communities. And together, we will break the cycle of poverty in Jesus' name.
Amen. And together, we can see this happen. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8 says this, that this is what God requires of us, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before our God. That's his heart for community. And through Watoto Neighborhood, we've been empowering vulnerable mothers in our campuses, some of our campuses. But recently, we piloted it in the communities, and the success has been phenomenal.
That's right. And we have seen the engagement go up. We've seen the dropouts significantly reduce. And the women are so hungry for the program. So while we're going to keep it running at our campuses, we are going to expand the reach of this program in our communities, in what we are calling the Neighborhood Transformation Centers. We will take it right where the women live, right where the pain and brokenness is. And because of this, we need lots of people on board. So church family, we are calling on you through yourselves. Please mobilize yourselves and come on board. We need people to disciple and follow up the women and offer support. So your pastors will be telling you more, but I pray you come on board. Also, if you're there and you have time on your hands, We need an army of volunteers to pass on their skills and abilities to these women. And again, your pastors will tell you how you can be involved.
I also want to invite business owners to create space in your businesses so we can employ some of these mothers. I know God will surely bless you. Now, as a church, we continue to have a bold vision that God can break the cycle of generational poverty from this mother's lineage. We continue to have a strong conviction that God's heart has always been for the vulnerable in our communities. And I want to call us to courageous action. So next week, Watoto family, we are going to take a big offering that is going to help boost the businesses of these vulnerable mothers. Our goal is to raise 350 million shillings that is going to empower 1,000 mothers.
That's right. We have trained these mothers, we have equipped them with different skills, and we have really taught them how to fish. And now we need to come alongside them and equip them with the tools to succeed, to go out and start businesses and take care of themselves and their children.
And once again, God's heart is to break the cycle of poverty and injustice so that these precious mothers will live in the fullness of God's purposes for their lives.
Amen. This is the anthem of this house. That wherever there's brokenness is where God wants us to be. The reason we are in Watoto in South Sudan is not because it's easy. It's because God called us. That is the heart of God, especially for this house. We will go to the broken. We will go to the hopeless. And God is sending us. And like God asked Isaiah, who will go before us? My prayer is that you will say, here I am. Send me, Lord. He's not looking for the most intelligent, the most able. He is looking for the available, and they have the conviction that God is calling them. He's not looking for those who have everything. He's looking for those who have something in their hands and they're going to offer it to God. And God is going to perform a miracle through what you have. And I know as we look at the need around us, it is overwhelming. And the many of you online that have been saying, Watoto, come, I see this happening in my community. If you can see it, God is calling you to it. We may not be everywhere, but God has his people everywhere. And what God is looking for is obedience to say, God, here I am. This is what I have. So the question I'm asking you this morning is, what do you have in your hands? Offer it to God and see what God can do. We get that from the Old Testament. Moses had a staff, a simple staff, but God used it to deliver a nation of millions of people. It's not because of the staff, it's because of who was holding the staff and chose to obey God. The journey of Watoto Ministries is a journey that began humbly. A couple who just heard God say, go plant a church downtown Kampala. In the days when everybody wanted to leave this nation, but they obeyed. There was blood, sweat, and tears, but they obeyed the Lord. Look at what God has done 41 years later. We only can say This is the work of the Lord. It takes obedience of God's people. So the broken are there. What are you going to do? One of the ways that we can be a part of this, Pastor Julius already expressed it, this next weekend, we are going to be giving a big offering. So prepare an offering. And ask God what it's going to be. Say, God, what do you want me to do? I think begin, because this is a God idea, ask God. Say, God, what would you want me to do? You'll be amazed. You might be looking at what you have, and it's true. But God can give you amazing ideas of how you can actually do much more than you can imagine. So prepare an offering next week. Now, some of you may have done the math. 350 million shillings for 1,000 women, that's about 350K per woman, that's about $100. Some of you are saying, Pastor, bring the offering back right now. You're ready right now. First, hold on, pray about it. We're going to pray. And if you sense you want to do it now, we can aid that. Our ushers can give you an envelope and you write on it, Neighborhood Matters, or Neighborhood. We'll make sure it goes towards that cause if you're ready today. But if you're not ready today, next week we're going to take a special offering. Some of you can say, you know what, $100, I can't do that. Me, I can do $10,000. Or can say, our business, we can do much more than that. You say, in my community, as sales, we can organize something. Pray about it, organize, and next week, let's come ready to do something. Let's all do something. Now, some of you are very far from what order where we are. You could be in the Middle East, and I know there's many people in the Middle East, in North America. You can participate. There are online giving options, but if God is calling you to a need in your community where you know that these people have been marginalized, you want to be a voice to them, ask God, what would He want you to do? And obey and see what God can do. So next week, let's get ready to give a big, big, big offering. But you know, friends, the story of these neighborhood mothers, the story of the orphans that we rescue, is not just their story, it's our story. You know, when we are separated from God our Father because of sin, there's always going to be suffering and pain. Many of these young people lost their fathers, and because of that, as you heard from the lady, Allen, on the video, when her husband died, pain and suffering came because the community took advantage of her. You know, earthly fathers are a picture of a heavenly Father. When there's that separation, suffering comes. And that's what sin does. Because of our sin, what happens? There are consequences. There's pain, there's death. There's separation from our heavenly Father. So the story of all these orphans and widows is our story. We all have been separated from God. And because of that, sin has brought suffering to us. It has brought pain. It has brought shame. It has brought guilt. But the wonderful news is this. Though we are the sinners and we deserve the consequences of sin, our God in heaven is very merciful to us. He is gracious. And He put a plan in motion to send His Son. And we see the story of redemption all through the pages of the Bible. God is always pursuing sinful man because He understands that separated from God, there's death. And that's not God's will for all of us. And so Jesus comes. He lives the life that you should have lived, a perfect life. And then He dies for you and I. And by trusting that He is your Savior, simple yet profound, we are reconciled back to our Heavenly Father. And we are no longer fatherless. We are set free. And then God gives us eternal life. And so the work that we're doing to rescue the vulnerable is the work that Jesus is doing to rescue us from sin. And as we engage with the vulnerable and we bring hope to them and we tell them it's Jesus and they receive Jesus, the same thing that God wants to do in this place. Maybe you could be in this place and you are living a life filled of brokenness, sin, shame, no hope. Today I want to invite you to a God that I know. He's a Father. And He wants to be your Father. He wants to bring peace in your life that you lack. Jesus is the Savior who came to save us from fatherlessness so we can have a Heavenly Father. If you're in this room, you're online or on air, you're listening in, and you're saying, Pastor Eddie, I need to be reconciled to my Heavenly Father. I want to pray for you. If you're living a broken life, a life filled with hopelessness, I'm here to invite you to a Father who will restore you and you have a new family. And so this is response time. I would like you to bow your heads and close your eyes. If that is you, my brother, my sister, young and old, no matter how long you've been coming to a church, this is personal, yet very profound and important. And God has already begun the work in your heart. You sense a conviction in your heart. You say, God, here I am. Come as you are, and Jesus will forgive your sins. And you have a Father. If that is you here in person, and you're saying, Pastor Eddie, today I would like to surrender my heart to Jesus. You sense it in your heart. I'm only here to help you make that decision. Would you lift up your hand? I want to pray for you. Come back to the love of God, your Father. Don't let fear stop you from receiving the most wonderful gift. Raise your hand in the room, upstairs. Lift up your hand. Be courageous. Online, there's a link that is showing up. Click it. Would love to get in touch with you because you matter. There's a Father who loves you. Raise your hand. Online, get in touch with us. Write to us. Connect at watchorderchurch.com. Lift up your hand. Let me pray for you today. His grace is available. His forgiveness is available. Thank you. Raise your hand. There's a Father who loves you. Upstairs, raise your hand. Thank you. Lift up your hand. I want to pray for you. You're here. You're the reason that Jesus came. God bless you. Don't leave this for tomorrow. None of us knows what tomorrow brings. Today is the day when you hear the voice of the Lord. I'm simply a vessel of the Lord. I'm not the one inviting you. God is doing a work in your heart. Simply respond. Raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Thank you. Raise your hand. Click that link online. Now, Father, thank you so much. My friends are raising their hands in person. And those online, saying, here I am, forgive me and save me. To such is why your Son came, to give eternal life, to ensure they have a Father who loves them. And so God, today we celebrate the fact that some people in this place and online on air are responding to the wonderful news of the gospel that saves every sinner and gives them eternal life. We celebrate that. In Jesus' name I do pray. And everybody say the big amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey, hey,